In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.
This Sunday is dedicated to Saint Mary of Egypt and her wonderful story that we read in full on Wednesday evening in the middle of the canon. And just to give you a brief outline of the story, we know that St. Mary left her parents when she was 12 and then began to live a very, very rough life, essentially selling herself. And eventually, she made her way to Jerusalem. And because she was unable to enter the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, she had a quickening in her heart and realized that it was her sins that kept her from entering the church and venerating the life-giving cross. And she repented, and out of obedience to God was sent into the desert to live out her life of repentance. It is from her own testimony, the story says that she sinned greatly for 17 years, and for 17 years in the desert, she suffered greatly. So this story is obviously a story of an icon of extreme repentance. Today I want to focus on a few things. First of all, I just want to say that it wasn't Mary's choice to go into the desert. Oftentimes, and Mary is kind of an icon of the addict as well, so if you know anybody with addiction, you can easily make the translation of her life as being someone who was addicted to pleasure, as she actually confesses in her story. Addiction is baffling, and it is overwhelming, and oftentimes, for those who are in it, it is something that they think they can figure their way out of, but it, as some 12-step programs would say, it's cunning and baffling. It's not something you can figure out. So Mary is set in the desert out of obedience to God. And I think that's an important point, because so oftentimes in our repentance, we want to choose the therapy. And this is the problem with self-directed spirituality in general, is that we often choose the therapy that actually doesn't do much for the sins that we struggle with, sometimes reinforces them. But Mary was sent in the desert, and she did this out of obedience. And what did she do in the desert? Well, it says that she didn't eat very much. And if you think about a desert, like a real desert, like the one she went to, you know that there's very little food, hardly any, just some herbs that can be picked out of the ground occasionally. In some places, there might be some bugs in the sand. Outside of that, there's obviously nothing very entertaining about a desert. There's no way to entertain yourself. She mentions that she was subject to the heat, which burned her during the day, and the cold, which she froze at night. So we could see that she goes out into the desert, not with a hotel or a tent, but simply wearing what was on her back. There's no shopping in the desert. To make it comparable to our day and age, there's no internet in the desert. She's left to feel the shame of her sins. You see, oftentimes when we have sins, addictions, or whatever, we do things to avoid to feeling the shame. We do things to avoid having to face ourselves. But for St. Mary, it says there was nothing that she could do. She couldn't pick up a magazine. There was nothing for her to distract herself from herself and from the very presence of God. And so she mentions in her story that she suffered greatly, not only physically, but on the inside. Who can imagine the shame that she might have felt as she recalled every person that she had harmed, every way which she had harmed herself, and every gift that she had somehow sold into slavery or misused, every face coming before her. And it says that in this suffering, this internal suffering, that some days she had no peace, so what did she do? Well, she couldn't call a counselor, and she didn't have a friend to talk to, and she couldn't distract herself. So it says she called out to God. And sometimes she called out to God, lying prostrate in the sand for many days, until she received his blessing, a forgiveness, a sense of peace that let her know that her repentance, her repentant prayers were heard, and gave her the sense again of forgiveness and connection. St. Mary lives this way in the desert, suffering intensely, hearing every blasphemous song that she had ever heard in her life. You know, I was recently tricked during this Lent into listening to some music. This may sound a little extreme to some of you, but there was a song that came up, and I listened to it, and I have a little bit of an issue. I don't listen to music in general because it gets stuck in my head on repeat over and over and over again. So in the beginning of Lent, I started listening to me. I'm not going to tell you who it was because you probably like them. Not Orthodox music. Great music, no problem with that. Deep feelings, all the connection in the world. And then a few weeks in, again, every time I approach the altar, every time I go to pray, over and over and over, the song is stupid. It was stupid by now. You know, it's ridiculous. But it just kept going over and over and over. St. Mary has the same thing in the desert on a much broader level, where she hears the blasphemous lyrics over and over and over. She remembers drinking wine and getting intoxicated. And she has on the inside the feeling of wanting this wine. She remembers the sumptuous meals. She remembers the comforts that she had comforted herself with in her disastrous life, but she's in the desert. And after 17 years of those temptations, now let's be reminded that St. Mary is in the desert out of obedience. She didn't choose to be there, but she certainly could choose to leave the desert. At any time, she could have given up and left and went back to the world and jumped back into her life. But instead, she prayed. Instead, she laid prostrate on the ground, waiting for the peace of God. And eventually, she was given the blessing of not having to struggle with her past life. When Abba Zosimus encounters her, she is essentially burnt to a crisp, without clothing, elderly. She's in her 70s, late 70s. Okay, I don't want to use that word elderly. You're not elderly till you're in your 80s, by the way. Oh, and, 85, after 85, yeah. Excuse me, she was an older lady in her 70s. There's a story behind that, too. But she was sanctified. When she prayed, she levitated from the ground, and all the glow-in-the-dark saint sort of stuff that we would expect to read in the lives of the saints. I don't want to go into that as much. I just want to focus on those two things. One, when we are full of sin, like St. Mary, when we are caught captive to any sort of addiction or passion or anything that pushes us around in life and are in away from God, it causes damage to others and ourselves. And we often have to seek help outside of ourselves. If we, as they say in the 12 steps, if we work our own program, if we decide how we're going to get rid of our problem and fix it and do all of this rationalizing in our mind is the one who got us into this trouble and will often cause us to just reinforce the passion or get into trouble again. Secondarily, for us, we have to be willing to acknowledge the ways that we comfort and distract ourselves. And this has been the theme of much of the sermons during Lent, is that we run to things to get our minds off of the big hole that's inside of our heart all the time. Things to distract us, such as TV, the internet, food and wine, music, whatever it is. And Mary's an icon of extreme repentance because she didn't have that. And she also shows us the potential of our transformation and our repentance if we're willing to voluntarily set aside those comforts and actually sit with the pain of our existence. As Christians, we don't run from the cross. We actually slowly walk towards it, allow ourselves to be crucified by it, and then we pray that God would raise us up from it. But this is the challenge of today's saint and the challenge of our own spiritual life. So through the prayers of St. Mary of Egypt, who suffered in the desert for so long, may God bless us to somehow set aside things, especially in these next 2 weeks, as we struggle on in the fast and as we enter into Holy Week, that we could again intensify and focus our spiritual life on the crosses that we have, on the brokenness of our own hearts, and rather than fleeing to things that save us from these sufferings and pain, that we would do whatever we can as in prayer, in prostrations, in supplication to God, to see that if He can send us peace, to see if He can send us peace, to see if He can grant us some health and healing and forgiveness, so that as we journey to the cross, we can also experience, after our death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not as something external from us, but something deeply internal and experienced reality. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.